I'm quite certain you had words with the president over what we call Obamacare.
Sure.
Did you talk directly to him about
that? Sure.
And you opposed it, of course.
Yeah.
Tell us about your back and forth with that.
Well, I just told him it wouldn't work. And he knew it wouldn't work. But once you get it in, you can't hardly ever get it out. So that was the plan. I mean, they know next year it's going to be a disaster in this country as far as deductibles and copays.
Next year because?
Because this will be the year in which everything kicks in. The average deductible is going to be something like $8,000 or $9,000 for the average American on these plans. Why have it? They can't afford that. Plus, they're going to be paying $6,000 or $7,000 a year or $8,000 for the insurance. So since when did it cost $20,000 to have health care? And the reason it costs that is because the government's in it in the first place. You know, we've never tried since before World War II to allow markets to allocate the scarce resource of health care. And that doesn't mean it's perfect. A lot of people would fall through the holes, but not any more than they're falling through now, except the cost would be about half.
Republicans say, when I get to Washington, I want to end Obamacare. Is that possible here at this point?
It's possible if you have a Republican president and enough votes to get it out of the Senate. Well, or you could do it with reconciliation in the Senate on a budget at 51 votes.
It would leave thousands of people without insurance.
No.
What do we?
Then they'd go back to what they were.
Some of them didn't have anything, and they'd walk into hospitals, and the hospitals have to take care of them.
Do you really think $18,000 per person right now is? You got to balance that. And remember, that cost was spread among all of us when they walk into an ER. It's not that the hospitals aren't getting paid. They're getting paid. They're taking it from those that can pay. You know, your hospital's losing money. What we have is so much of medicine not going to help patients. That's our problem. You're not going to design a Politburo big enough to manage health care. You got to let market forces manage it. And that means you have to have a real safety net for people who are going to fall through. And they are. They're going to fall through Obamacare. Do you think all the people that by law are supposed to be buying health insurance are buying it right now? No. Because they can't afford it. And they certainly could have afforded what they had before, but it's been taken away.
So how do you see this playing out? Republicans may not be able to do
it. I don't know how it plays out because you don't know what the mix is going to be starting January 1st of next year.
Right. You've had mothers come to you who didn't have insurance, and you performed the birth.
I've taken care of a lot of people without insurance.
Right. You became known as Dr. No in the Senate. How did you like that?
I didn't care.
You used the Senate hold privilege to prevent several bills from coming to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you were helping by doing that? Senator Harry Reid had Senate Bill 3297 combined 35 bills, which you had blocked into what Democrats call the Tomnibus Bill. So when you were doing that, what good were you doing?
Well, I beat him on that bill. He never got cloture on that bill. What he did is, look, that was all about land. The federal government owns about 580 million acres of land in this country. We can't take care of the land we got. And all those bills were about acquiring more land, putting the government in charge of more land. And I was blocking them. I said, first of all, you don't have the right under the Constitution to do that. Number two is you're not a good steward of the land you've got. Number three, and we don't have the money. Plus, when you buy the land, it goes off the tax rolls for the states and makes the states poorer, not better. So what he did is he took, I think it was 20 bills that I was holding, but he added 15 or 16 more for things Republicans wanted and bought them into the bill. And I made this impassioned plea in our conference. And I said, you guys can vote with Harry Reid, but just remember, your right to hold is forever gone. That's a privilege that Senate's had since the Senate was founded. And you can always go around me, get 60 votes and go around me. But if you're going to vote with Harry Reid to take away my right and your right to hold bills that are wasteful, that are not constitutional, you better give it a second thought. So when cloture happened, he only got 54 votes for cloture.
Explain that. Cloture, what do you mean?
That means the right to proceed onto the bill.
Right.
And he didn't get enough votes to proceed onto the bill. So it taught him a lesson, too, that you can run over everybody in the Senate only so far, and then people get it.
Okay, that was just one example. But then you opposed parts of the legislation creating the Lewis and Clark Mount Hood Wilderness Area, which would add protections to wildlands in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho.
Yeah.
Why did you exercise that hold?
Because we can't take care of the wild lands we've got under the federal government now. Where's the money going to come to do that? You got an $18 billion backlog right now in the national parks. They're falling apart. It's growing by $5 billion a year. And you're adding more scenic areas and more things for the government to be responsible. The Park Service doesn't want any more of this stuff. It's a politician that wants it so they can go home and say, look what I did for us. Even though we can't afford it, even though your kids won't ever get to play here because it's going to fall apart. You know, if we had plenty of money, I wouldn't be opposing that stuff. We don't. I'm happy to oppose it. Proud. Beat my chest. From an economic sense, it's the stupid thing to do. But I know it's also the politically expedient thing.
Now, some of these senators, when you're out of committee and so forth in the hallway, they can walk up to you and say, hey, they're mad at you or whatever.
No, they say, let my bill go. I said, well, come on into my office. We'll figure out a way to make it constitutional and pay for it. You know how many of them did? Oh, one or two. And those we got passed. You know, if you're willing to work with me, let's find a way to not violate the Constitution and let's find a funding source. So that you're not adding it to your own kids when you want to do this. And you can still look good at home. I know this is all about looking good at home. But let's do it the right way. Let's pay for it. And let's make sure we don't violate the enumerated power clause. Or let's don't violate the 10th Amendment.